turn with me to Isaiah 9:6. We're continuing our series called Christmas Hope, and we've been looking at the different titles of Jesus, and this morning the title we're looking at is Prince of Peace, and I've been clinging to him to be my Prince of Peace during this time. I was reading an article recently titled The Top 8 Things People Desperately Desire But Can't Seem to Attain, and one of the things topping the list was peace. No matter where you go in the world, people are seeking peace because the world is filled with turmoil, with war, with hatred, with strife, with problems, and many other destructive things. And certainly the pandemic has proven the need for peace to be true, as rates of people experiencing anxiety and depression have dramatically increased since the beginning of the pandemic. Even in the rush of Christmas, navigating the crowded stores with the pressure of finding everyone just the right gift, and of course the sometimes challenging family gatherings can fill us with stress and anxiety, making peace all the more essential, if not elusive. But the good news of Christmas is that amidst all the chaos of the world, Jesus came as our Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace. Read with me, if you will, Isaiah 9:6. This is the prophecy of Isaiah concerning the coming of Jesus. It says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And over the last 4 weeks, we have preached on each one of those titles. If you missed the messages, I encourage you to go back either to our Facebook page or our YouTube channel and listen to those messages. I believe that it will encourage your heart and minister to your soul and to your spirit. So go back and listen to it and let God touch your hearts. But hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, God raised up the prophet Isaiah to bring a message of hope. And if you read the first verse of this chapter, the message of hope was to a people who were in distress. A people who were in distress. They were weary. They were beaten down. The stresses of their circumstances, the turmoil of war, the grief of having their homes destroyed and having lost family members, and the uncertainty of living as exiles in a foreign land caused them great distress. So much so that they didn't know what peace felt like anymore. Have you ever been there, that you have so much problems in your life that you can't even remember what it felt like to be at peace? That's how they were. That's how they were. They were in such distress. And in the midst of their anxiety, in the midst of their unrest, Isaiah says, Jesus the Savior, the hoped for Messiah, will come and bring peace. Hallelujah. In fact, he won't just bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. One Christian leader writes, "Peace is the essence of the message of Christmas, for Christ came to bring his peace to every man. He came as the Prince of Peace." In fact, at his birth, the angels proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Hallelujah. So today we're going to consider this peace that Jesus brings and how we can find it. The first thing I want us to look at is that if there is no peace in our soul, there can be no peace in our world. And I'm not just talking about the world in general. I'm talking about our world. Amen. All of the things that we face. The turmoil in the world in general is the result of trouble in the soul. You don't have to look hard to see that there is turmoil everywhere in the world. Amen. One internationally known evangelist aptly states, "The entire world is in turmoil. While the population of the planet continues to explode at a rate of nearly 100 million births per year, millions more are dying from epidemics," and that has really hit home during this pandemic. "Millions more are dying from epidemics, war, famine, starvation, drugs, crime, and violence." He said, "We're living in a time of enormous conflict and cultural transformation. The political and social revolution of our time staggers the imagination. We have seen the results of unrestrained greed, corruption, and manipulation on Wall Street, financial management, mismanagement in the halls of government, fraud and perversion at the highest levels of both church and state. And the reason for all of this turmoil is because the world is governed by the evil one And humankind is in a sin-fallen state, separated from God through disobedience and dominated by the selfish desires of our flesh. The reason the world is in such turmoil is the activity of Satan and the sinful, selfish inclinations of a fallen humankind. That's what's behind all of the turmoil in the world. And that's why there can be no true and lasting peace apart from Christ. Peace in our soul is the result of peace with God. We have all sinned, and in our sinful state, the Bible says we were the enemies of God. See, sin is not just a shortcoming, it's not just a mistake, it's not just a failure, it's rebellion against God, it's fighting against God, it is a refusal to serve God, it's hostility, the Bible says, it's hostility towards God. And as long as we're in a state of hostility towards God, then we can't be at peace.
That's right, Pastor.
Have you ever been in a state of hostility towards another person? And your soul is just all like knotted up inside. Think how much more when you're in a state of hostility towards God.
Yeah.
If you're in a state of hostility towards God, you cannot be at peace. That's why Isaiah 48, 22 says, there is no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. And in Romans 3, 17, Paul says, the sinner does not know where to find peace, because there is no peace apart from Christ. Through our own sinful rebellion against God, we were at war with God, and there was no peace to be found. But God sent his Son, the Prince of Peace, to make peace by taking upon himself the penalty of our sins at the cross. He did not just die for us, he died as us. He became human. He took our place when he hung on the cross. And Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, we have peace with God because of what Christ Jesus, the Lord Christ Jesus, has done for us. It's through Christ that we have been made at peace with God. I read the story of Don and Carol Richardson, who were missionaries that went to New Guinea to bring the good news of Christ to a group of people known as the Sawi people. And the Sawi was a head-hunting, cannibalistic tribe who used the skulls of their victims as pillows to sleep at night. And they lived among several tribes who were constantly fighting. And Don wrote a book about his experience as a missionary among the Sawi, and the book is titled Peace Child. And he explains that he began his experience among the Sawi people by reading through the Gospel of Matthew to them. But to his consternation, when he got to the part about Judas betraying Jesus, they all cheered. He didn't realize that their culture was built on treachery, deceit, and betrayal. Those were things that were prized in their culture. So the one to them, the one who was the most devious, was the one who had the greatest respect in their tribe. The missionary searched and prayed for every possible means to explain the greatness of God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, his truth, his pure love to a people whose values were based on deception. Then one day, he witnessed a solemn ceremony between two warring tribes. One of the chiefs walked over to the other and handed him a child. In fact, it was the chief's own son that he gave to the other chief. Their custom had been that peace could only come between two warring tribes if the chief of one tribe would give his son to the people of the other tribe, his enemies. That child was called the Peace Child. And the chief would place his own son in the hands of a people who had hated him and who had been his enemies. And that was the only way in their culture to bring peace between them. So this missionary, Don Richardson, saw in this act the perfect bridge to help these people understand what God had done to make peace in our relationship with him. God had given his peace child into the hands of a hostile world in order to bring that enmity to an end. Jesus is our peace. Yes, Jesus made peace for us with God. When we are at peace with God, when our sins are forgiven and our lives have been washed from unrighteousness and we have been made a child of God, not only are we at peace with God, but then we can be at peace within ourselves. And that changes the way that we relate to others and the world around us. Have you ever met somebody that they're in so much turmoil that they cause turmoil with everybody? I know somebody I'm thinking about right now. I mean, they go around like all, down on all fours like a bulldog, just looking for somebody to growl and bite. Yeah, you ever known somebody like, don't look at them right now. Don't elbow your husband or your wife, you know. But there's some people like that, amen? But when you're at peace with God, then you're at peace within your own self. And that enables you to relate differently, to relate in peace with others and with your circumstances. We can be at peace in the midst of a world in turmoil because we have been made at peace with God through faith in Jesus. Jesus is the one that made peace with God possible, but he also makes the peace of God available. So he makes peace with God possible, but he makes the peace of God available to us. And that's what we're going to be talking about next. When we talk about the peace with God, that's the restoration of our relationship with God. When we talk about the peace of God, that's what God does in us. Amen. In the midst of whatever circumstance we may be facing. And I thought it was so interesting the way the Holy Spirit works this morning, because there were three words that were shared in the service, and all of them had to do with resting in God, being at peace with God, trusting God. And that was the Holy Spirit confirming, even before the message came, confirming his word. Amen. So the second type of peace, the peace of God, speaks of the peace that God gives us to go through life and face all the circumstances that we face. And this is the principle. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of God.
Amen. Say that again.
Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of God.
There it is.
Peace is not a trouble-free life. It's trusting that God is always with you in the midst of your troubles. We often think of peace as the absence of conflict, stress, or problems. It's as if we define peace by the negative sense of what it's not. But the Hebrew word for peace used in Isaiah 9:6 when it says he is the Prince of Peace, that Hebrew word for peace is shalom. You might have heard it because it's a common Jewish greeting. And rather than telling us what peace is not, shalom tells us what peace is. Peace is a word that means wholeness, well-being, safety, completeness, and prosperity. Isaiah 26:3, using the word shalom, says, "You will keep in perfect peace, in perfect shalom, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." That's the key right there, right? Trusting in him and fixing our thoughts on him, because the natural tendency is to fix our thoughts on the problem. You know, right now the natural tendency of my flesh is to fix my thoughts on the fact that my mother is in the hospital. But my faith says, fix your eyes, fix your mind on the Lord. Amen. And that's how I'm able to stand up here this morning. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Someone wrote, people are seeking peace of mind when God wants to give you a mind at peace. People are seeking peace of mind when God wants to give you a mind at peace. And a mind at peace comes from trusting in the Lord and focusing on him. Focusing on him. One of the Lord's names in the Old Testament is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And Jesus is here called the Prince of Peace because peace is found in a person. Peace is experienced by trusting that he is with us, that he loves us, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I read that despite the fact that some of the most violent weather on earth occurs over the ocean. I mean, sometimes you see those mammoth hurricanes over the ocean, you know, that they're 200 miles wide and they're 210 mile per hour winds or whatever, just these mammoth hurricanes, and you're praying, Lord, by the time it gets shore, don't let it be that strong, you know. But all that severe weather takes place over the ocean, and the surface of the ocean just rages violently. But the deeper you go, the more tranquil the water becomes. Oceanographers report that the deepest parts of the ocean are absolutely still. Even if a hurricane is raging above, the deepest parts of the ocean are absolutely still. And when those areas are dredged, they find remnants of plant and animal lives that have remained undisturbed for thousands of years. You know how many storms have passed above? And yet, the surface of the ocean's floor in the depths remains completely undisturbed. Wow. So even while the surface of the ocean churns with furious winds, the depths beneath are protected, perfectly calm. And as Christians, when we trust in the Lord, the world all around us may be churning like a storm filled with turmoil. But in the depths of our soul, if we have pressed into the depths of his presence, we find a peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone who has said, those who are in the best of circumstances without God can never find peace. But those who are in the worst of circumstances but with God never lack peace. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Sheila Walsh writes, peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God in the midst of trouble. Amen. His presence in the midst of trouble. Peace comes from recognizing we have no control and trusting that God is in control of all that happens. Wow. The longer I live, the more I realize we have no control over life. One writer states, fear is the enemy of peace. We are in circumstances that are beyond our control, and inside we are in utter turmoil. We believe that the worst will happen to us, right? When something happens, you're already imagining the very worst, right? We believe that the very worst will happen to us and that our feelings are an accurate read on the situation. So we believe that what we feel is reality. We scramble for solutions all the while struggling for air as we are inwardly trapped by a cage of emotion. We are out of control. And we get stressed and we get anxious trying to control what we cannot control. Right. But peace comes from surrendering and trusting that God is in control. You need to surrender what you cannot control to God and trust that he is in control. You might remember the story of Jesus asleep on the boat when a terrible storm came up on the Sea of Galilee. And how did the disciples respond? They immediately began to panic. Amen. They began to panic and they began to fear the very worst. We are going to die. Amen. And that's just human. That's the way we respond when we immediately picture the very worst outcome. Amen. That's our natural inclination. So they go to Jesus in a panic and they wake him up and they say, Master, don't you care that we're going to die? But we need to notice something in this story that really just vividly spoke to me. And it kind of confirms something that Aixa said earlier. In Luke 8, 22 through 23, it says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. And Jesus is napping. But I want you to notice something here. Jesus didn't say, let's get on the boat, go out on the lake, and drown.
Right.
He didn't say that, did he?
Right. No, he didn't.
He said, let's get on the boat and go to the other side. And Aixa earlier said, you know, God is going to take you through. He's not going to leave you in the circumstance. And that's what God is saying here. Jesus says, let's get on the boat and go to the other side. And when God speaks a word to us, we have to trust that word. But somehow they forgot that word and they felt they were going to drown. But they didn't realize that Jesus didn't say, let's get on the boat and drown. He said, let's get on the boat and go to the other side.
Wow, that's a word.
And that's why Jesus was able to be at peace and sleep in the midst of the storm. Because he knew that God had more work for him to do on the other side. So there's no way God was going to let him drown in the midst of the sea. Amen? And that's the kind of faith that we've got to have, that God is going to take us to the other side of the storm. Amen? He's not going to let us drown in the storm. Praise the Lord. So Jesus could sleep in the midst of the dangerous storm because he trusted that God had the power to get them to the other side. Amen? God has power over whatever storm you face. It could be a storm of cancer. It could be a financial storm. It could be an emotional storm. It could be a storm of job loss. It could be the storm of a lost loved one. But I want you to know God has the power to get you through it and to the other side. Hallelujah. We need to trust his word. When I was going through stage 3 cancer several years ago, one of the scriptures that I was clinging to, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Hallelujah. It didn't say sometimes, maybe, if, when. It said he delivers them out of them. Oh, hallelujah. So we need to trust his word. Hallelujah. He didn't bring us this far to let us down. He didn't bring us this far to abandon us. He didn't bring us this far to let us drown. Hallelujah. He's going to get us through. He's going to take us to the other side. Hallelujah. Jesus says, let's get on the boat and go to the other side. Jesus is saying to you this morning, whatever you're facing, you are going to the other side. Hallelujah. There is no storm. There is no work of Satan that can stop God from getting you to the other side. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Jesus could sleep in the midst of the storm because he trusted that God was in control and that God had a plan. And God has a plan even for the storms in our life. You think God didn't know there was going to be a storm in the middle of the sea? That was a part of God's plan. In verse 25, it says, then he asked them, when the disciples came, said, Master, don't you care that we're dying? He asked them, where is your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man, they asked, when he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey. I want you to see, Jesus asked, where is your faith? You see, the storm was intended to increase their faith. To increase their faith in him. The implication that Jesus was making, if only you had faith, you would not be panicking.
Yep.
You would be at peace. He wanted them to grow in faith. And the storm was intended to give them a deeper revelation of Jesus.
Amen.
That they might know that Jesus is the one that has power over the winds and the waves. So that even the winds and the waves obey him. So that the next time they faced a storm, they wouldn't panic, but they would be at peace. Hallelujah. God has taken you through some storms to teach you that he has power over your storms, so that now whenever you face a storm, you will not panic, but you can be at peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the midst of whatever storm you're facing, I pray that you would have a deeper revelation of Jesus, that your faith would grow, so that you might trust him completely in whatever you face. Jesus could sleep in the midst of the storm because he trusted that God had a purpose. You know, Jesus never did anything by a whim, right?
No.
He was always led by the Spirit. He didn't do anything without purpose. And he was crossing the lake because God had a purpose for him on the other side. There was a new arena of ministry waiting on the other side in the deliverance of a demoniac in Gadara. And that deliverance would later lead to that entire region being reached with the gospel. Jesus was at peace because he trusted God was not yet finished with him. God still had a purpose for him, that no storm could stop him, and that at the other side of the storm, there was greater power, there was greater anointing, and there was greater reach for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Trust that God has a purpose for you. There are new levels of anointing, new levels of spiritual authority and power, new areas of ministry, new people to be reached, as God is not going to let this storm destroy you, but when he brings you through it, hallelujah, it's going to give you a testimony. It's going to give you power and authority to minister to others. Hallelujah. So what did Jesus do when the disciples panicked and said, don't you care that we perish? Jesus didn't panic and all of a sudden wake up and say, oh, we're in the midst of a storm. How terrible. No. The Bible says he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And the Bible says suddenly, ooh, hallelujah. Suddenly, the storm stopped and was calm. I don't know how many hours they were in the storm. They probably tried everything they knew as sailors, because you know what we do when we go through a storm, we try everything we know first to fix the storm. Then when we can't, when we realize it's out of our control, then we run for Jesus. So that's likely what they did, because most of them were sailors. So they probably lowered the sails and jettisoned equipment or whatever they would do, until they realized there was nothing they could do. Hallelujah. God loves when we get to the place where we realize there's nothing we can do. Hallelujah. Because then we come to the place where we experience what he can do. Hallelujah. So Jesus got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and suddenly, I don't know how long you've been in your storm, but there's coming a suddenly if you'll trust Jesus, if you'll run to Jesus, if you'll call on Jesus, there is a suddenly coming for you. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord, where God is going to, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. There's a suddenly coming for you where God is going to calm your storm. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But peace comes from relinquishing our efforts to control what we have no control over, and trusting that Jesus is in control even over the worst moments of my life, of your life. We have to trust he's in control, and he has the power over the things that cause us the greatest fear. Hallelujah. The message of Christmas reminds us that peace is not a feeling. Peace is not a feeling based on positive circumstances, but peace comes from a person, because peace is a person. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And prince means ruler. And when we place our faith in him and focus our mind upon him, we can be confident that he is with us, and his peace will rule in our mind and our heart. His peace will rule over fear. His peace will rule over doubt. His peace will rule over anxiety. His peace will rule over depression. Hallelujah. Because he is the Prince, the ruler of peace. Glory to his name. As we trust him and turn everything over to him in prayer, his peace, which passes all understanding, will rule our hearts and minds. Hallelujah. Do you need peace in your life today? God's gift to us at Christmas is not just peace, it's Jesus. Because when we have Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And the first step to receiving God's gift of peace is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because peace is a person. And all you need to do to receive Jesus is to repent of your sins and place your faith in him. So if anyone here has not yet done so, I want to invite you to do so in a moment. Repent simply means to turn away from. We recognize the direction we've headed is leading to destruction, that it's wrong, that it's not pleasing to God. We say, God, I turn away from that, and I turn to you in faith. Forgive me and come and live inside of me. The moment you do that with a sincere heart, your sins are washed away. You are made a new creation, and you become a child of God. And that's when you receive the Prince of Peace. to come and live inside of you. And if you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, or maybe you did so some time ago, but you've drifted away, and you can feel the Lord tugging at your heart, whether you're here in person or online, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Would you say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sin, and I turn to you in faith. Forgive me of all of my sins, and come live inside of me. Help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer and meant it, God has done exactly what you asked him to do, and I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life, amen. Welcome to the family of God. But that prayer is just a beginning. It's the beginning of a lifelong journey with the Lord, and we have to grow in our relationship with God, and there's three things we need to do every single day to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Talk to him every day. That's prayer. Thank him for the good things in your life, and ask him to help you with whatever problem, struggles, or storms you're facing. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. The way he talks to us is through his word. If you don't have a printed Bible, you can download the YouVersion app on your phone or tablet for free. And I encourage you to start reading in 1 John. Just read a few verses every day and ask God to speak to you and to understand what he's saying to you. And thirdly, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, of course, we invite you to get connected to our church family. We have a wonderful spiritual family that will pray with you, stand alongside of you, and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. And right now, I'd like to ask you, if you just prayed that prayer with us, if you're here in-house, if you could put that screen up for the altar call, if you could text "I prayed" to the number that's going to be on the screen in a moment, or if you're online, if you will type "I prayed" in the comments, we just want to send you a free e-booklet to help you understand the prayer you just prayed and how to grow in your relationship with the Lord. But we do need your email address and your name for that. So if you would just, if you're online, just type "I prayed" in the comments, and hopefully they'll get that screen up if you're here in person, so you can text "I prayed" to the number that they'll put on the screen in just a moment. But once again, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. For those of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, and for those of you in person, there's the number on the screen. If you would just text "I prayed" to that number. But for those of us who've already placed our faith in Christ as our Savior, let's commit ourselves to go deeper in him through prayer, through dwelling in his word, so that even when the storms rage around us, we can be at peace in the depths of his presence. And this morning, I know there's some people that you're facing some stuff. You're in the midst of a storm right now. Let's turn it over to him in prayer. Let's turn over to him everything that's filling us with fear and anxiety, and trust that he loves us, that he is with us, and that he is in control. So today, two things: a commitment to go deeper into his presence, because peace is a person. And secondly, if you're facing a storm right now, to turn that storm over to him. Surrender what you cannot control to the one who is in control. And if you want to respond to either of those two altar calls, would you stand to your feet right where you are? Right where you are. Hallelujah. Just speak to God from your own heart as I pray over us. Have a conversation with God. And we're going to agree together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone who is standing, almost 100%. Father, we stand before you today, confessing our great need of you every moment of every day. And at this moment, Lord, we are committing ourselves to go deeper into you, so that when the storms churn all around us, we will be hidden in the safety of your presence, Lord. And Father, right now, I pray for everyone who is in the midst of a storm, that they might be able to surrender what they cannot control into your able hands, trusting that you are in control, so that they can be still and know that you are God. Let them find rest for their souls in you, as your peace fills their heart and mind. In Jesus' precious and blessed name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together with one. Thank you for all of your people today, Lord God, that have been a part of this service. And we pray that your peace, Lord God, would fill them not only through this holiday season, but every day as they trust in you and fix their minds upon you. Father, let your blessing be upon your people. Keep them safe, Lord God. Bless every gathering this week, Lord God. Protect your people, Lord, and let them know your joy, your peace, and your love in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We love you, New Life. Merry Christmas to all of you. Have wonderful celebrations with your family and stay safe. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday, and we'll